Welcome to Computing Lives, a podcast from the IEEE Annals of the History of Computing. One of the goals of this podcast series is to give precise biographies of key computer pioneers. Today, we are looking at an early computer designer who toiled alone, far from the centers of innovation in the United States and Great Britain. This is a brief biography of the German computer scientist Konrad Zuse. Zuse was born in Berlin-Wilmersdorf on June 22, 1910, his parents' second child. His father, Emil, was a Prussian civil servant, a lifelong post office administrator. His mother, Maria Krohn, was his father's niece. From the age of two, he was brought up in Brausberg in East Prussia. After 3 years in a church school, he was enrolled at gymnasium at the age of nine. For his entire school career, he was always about 2 years younger than the rest of his classmates, which he said made him feel physically inferior. In his fifth year at the gymnasium, his father was transferred to a new part of Germany, where Zuse went to the more modern, progressive Realgymnasium, which stressed modern languages, mathematics, and science. Being both artistically and technologically talented, he was torn between these two fields. But in the end, engineering won out, and he postponed serious sketching and painting until much later in life. He passed the Abitur exam when he was 17 and entered the Technische Hochschule, the Technical College, Berlin-Charlottenburg, first majoring in mechanical engineering and then switching to architecture, and finally to civil engineering. Here his friends gave him his lifelong nickname, Kuno. While a student, he dreamt of automatic machinery for vending and money machines, movie projection, space travel, and a concept of metropolis, a city of the future. He read widely in economics and classics. His student club, the Akademische Verein Motiv, originally founded in 1847, had a humorous theatrical tradition in which he participated as an artist, an actor, the designer of stage machinery. It was in 1933, or perhaps 1934, that he started to think about the universal computing machine, thoughts that continued throughout his life. In 1935, after obtaining a diploma in civil engineering, he became a structural engineer with Heinschule Flügenschwerk, but soon left this job to devote himself entirely to the electromechanical computer he had started to assemble in his parents' Berlin apartment. This computer was intended to do tiresome engineering calculations and was entirely financed by his parents and his school friends, many of whom helped participate in the work. Between 1935 and the start of the war in 1939, he and his helpers built two successive machines, later referred to as the Z1 and Z2. The Z1 was the size of a large dining room table and was described by a visitor as being a mechanical, indefinable something constructed of sheet metal, small pieces, glass plates, crank arms, gear wheels, and a program cylinder. It was called the first program-controlled computing machine. To be honest, it never worked very satisfactorily, and it was abandoned for work on the Z2, which was built with electromechanical relays. I should add that in 1989, a copy of the Z1 was constructed on the basis of Zuse's notebooks for the Museum of Transport and Technology in Berlin. In working on the Z1 and the Z2, and experimenting with them, Zuse was able to develop and test, in both theory and practice, the basic laws of switching techniques and the fundamental concepts of the design of a computer. Just as the Z2 was almost completed, Germany invaded Poland. Although Zuse was immediately drafted as an infantryman, his officers allowed him to study and to go on planning his machinery. After 6 months, he was exempted from active duty and discharged to work as a structural engineer for Hemschel Flugenschwerk, which was developing remote-controlled flying bombs. He continued working on the Z2 on weekends at home, and in 1940 demonstrated it in his parents' living room to the German Aeronautics Research Institute in the Berlin Aldershof. According to Zuse, this dramatic demonstration was the only time that the Z2 ever worked. The German Aeronautics Research Institute was interested and gave him a contract for a new machine, the Z3. This computer was completed in 1941 and was extremely complex. It was closer in size to the Stibitz Bell Laboratories Computer Model 1 of 1940 than to, say, Aiken's Harvard Mark 1 of 1944. Both of these machines, of course, were completely unknown to Zuse at the time. Zuse said the Z3 was relatively reliable, although he was the only one who could operate it and service it. The Z3 was based on electromagnetic relays, 600 in the arithmetic unit, 1,400 more, to store some 64 numbers. It used a 22-bit word, the binary numbering system, and floating-point arithmetic. Control was done with an 8-track punched card celluloid film tape. Input was through a keyboard. Output was displayed on a lamp strip, which included the binary point. Its speed was approximately 3 seconds for multiplication, division, or the taking of a square root. The Z3 was demonstrated, but it was never put into everyday operation, and it was also destroyed in a 1944 air raid. It was reconstructed in 1960, and that reconstructed model is exhibited in the Deutsches Museum in Munich. Shortly after the Z3 was completed, Zuse was drafted again. But after a few days, he was once more exempted to work as a structural engineer in Heinschel. He continued to work part-time on his computers and eventually formed his own company, Zuse Engineering Bureau, which started in 1942 and got a contract for the Z4 machine from the German Aeronautical Research Institute. Zuse started to build this machine in rented rooms across the street from his parents' apartment. At one time, the Z4 was to be a combination electronic and relay machine, but the electronic concept was never included. In the meantime, while working at Heinschel, Zuse designed and built a relay device for wing measurement. It was operational day and night for fully 2 years. It was finally destroyed by a bombing raid in 1944. Again, Zuse was the only person who could service the machine. The development and construction of the Z4 continued with some intermittent help from the government through the bombing of Berlin. On January 6, 1945, Zuse married Gisela Brandes, one of his employees. In the final weeks of the war, the Z4, then named the V4 for Versuch model, was evacuated to Göttingen. As the Russians and the end of the war approached, they put the Z4 on a truck and fled to Hinterstein, where they settled into a farmhouse. Here, Zuse's first child, Horst, was born on November 17, 1945. The Z4 was examined and, to some extent, reported on by both the British and American officers. Zuse learned for the first time of the Mark I and the ENIAC. Earlier, while still in Berlin, he had seen a photograph of the Mark I in the files of the German Secret Service, but could only see from the title emblazoned across its top that it was the IBM Automatic Sequence Controlled Calculator. Zuse does not give any clear explanation of why the Z4 was not identified and revealed for its novelty and importance by the victorious Allies, who were combing Germany for technological developments. He later said that during this period, he could only do mental work, and so one of his tasks was to return to his doctoral dissertation, The Beginnings of a Theory of General Computing. From this, he developed his computing language called Plan Calcul, or Plan Calculus. This project was classified by some as the first algorithmic language. He completed this project sometime in the winter of 1945 and 46. The notation was a matrix form, something like a spreadsheet in modern terms, that could be used for both numerical and non-numerical problems. He used it to describe a full chess program. Today it's difficult to say to what extent the ideas of Plan Kalkul were adopted and to what extent others arrived at the same fundamental results as embodied in other languages. The computer scientist Don Knuth has written, "The Plan Kalkul incorporated many extremely important ideas, but it lacked the syntactic sugar for expressing programs in a readable and easily writable format." The Plan Kalkul was far ahead of its time from the standpoint of available hardware and also of software development. All of his life, Zuse hoped and preached that Plan Kalkul would attain general, practical importance, although it has never been implemented. In 1947, as Germany slowly recovered from the war, Zuse founded the Zuse Engineering Bureau. He sold an option on his patent rights to IBM, but finding the terms offered by IBM to be unsatisfactory, he actually never completed the sale. He obtained a research grant from Remington Rand. His first daughter, Monica, was born at this time on July 12, 1947. In the latter half of 1949, he got a contract to repair and to lease the Z4 for 5 years to the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, commonly known as ETH. ETH also had an option to purchase this machine at the end of the rental period. The contract is ascribed by Spicer to the vision and courage of Dr. Edward Stifel, a mathematician at ETH, who wanted to get a tool to support his research in mathematical analysis and recognized that Zuse Z4 was both suitable and available. The contract called for many changes and improvements, including the intermediate storage of data on paper tape, and, perhaps most importantly, the inclusion of conditional instructions, which had not been in the original design. On the basis of this contract, Zuse established the company, Zuse KG, and moved to the village of Nieuwkerken, from which, after a few months, he shipped the revised Z4 to ETH in Zurich, where it operated, often day and night, from 1950 until 1954. Heinz Rutheiser's day-to-day work on the Z4 showed him the importance of facilitating programming, and later he developed his own programming system, Plan Kalkul, not to be confused with Zuse's system of the same name. Since Rutheiser was one of the founders of Algol, it's perhaps reasonable to say that Zuse had some influence on this language, both through the Z4 and also through his own Plan Kalkul. In 1954, the Z4 was moved to the German-French Research Institute at Saint-Louis, France, where it worked reliably for another 5 years. Throughout the 1950s, Zuse concentrated on the development of his company, which had a contract with Remington Rand Switzerland and which built machines and consulted. He built the Z5, for example, the last of the large relay computing machines for Leitz. At one time, almost all of the companies in the optics industry, at least in the German-speaking world, used his computers. These were the Z11, which was a relay machine, the Z22, which was a vacuum tube machine, and finally the Z23, which was a transistor machine. His second son, Ernst, was born on December 19, 1950, and Hannelore, his second daughter, was born on September 13, 1957. During this period, Zuse made some paintings, which he signed Kuno Z, to avoid letting the customers of Zuse KG know that they were dealing with someone who was also an artist. The company Zuse KG, which had grown to have close to 1,000 employees, almost failed in 1957 when its relationship with Remington Rand Switzerland was ended, apparently at the instigation of Remington Rand's U.S. parent. An observer at the time said that Remington Rand never understood how to make use of the genius they had in Zuse. However, Zuse started once again, and he led Zuse KG to even greater success. In 1958, the year after he broke with Remington Rand, Zuse published a description of the field computer, a parallel processor which would solve differential equations. In that same year, he designed and built a computer-controlled plotter, the Z64, or Graphomat. His last child was born during these years. He was Peter, born on January 28, 1961. In 1964, Zuse sold his company, which had grown explosively, to Brown, Boveri & Company AG. In 1966, he became an honorary professor at the University of Göttingen, and in 1967, Zuse KG was taken over by Siemens. At this point, he returned to the development and promotion of Plan Kalkul, writing and editing books on the subject of which was most important as Der Plan Kalkul, 1972, and its English translation, The Plan Kalkul, 1976. During this period, he returned to his abandoned earlier love, painting. And his friends said his paintings were magnificent, so good that he could have made his living as a painter. He made portraits of German computer pioneers for the 1994 IFIP World Computer Congress, which was held in Hamburg. Zuse received his first honor in 1957, the honorary degree from the Technical University of Berlin at Göttingen. Later, he received honorary doctorates from the universities of Hamburg, Dresden, and Reykjavik. He considered his greatest honor to be the Werner von Siemens ring, which he received in 1964. His honors from the United States were the 1965 Harry Good Memorial Award from AFIPS and the Computer Pioneer Award from the IEEE, in 1982. He was also awarded the German Diesel Medal, the Austrian Exner Medal. In 1975, he was appointed honorary citizen of Hunfeld. He was an honorary member of the Academy Leopoldina in Halle, a foreign associate of the U.S. National Academy of Engineering, an honorary member of the German Society for Informatics, and, finally, a member of the Bavarian Maximilians Orden. In 1991, ETH also gave him an honorary degree. The Zuse Medal, which is an award named after him, is given every year, alternately by the German building industry and the Gesellschaft für Informatik. In 1984, a research institute, the Konrad Zuse Center for Information Technology, was also named after him. Zuse was the last survivor of that first tier of computer pioneer builders. Those who worked with relay machines, Lake, Hamilton, Aiken, Stibitz, Atanasoff. In his autobiography, Zuse asserts that his situation in Germany before, during, and after the Second World War was totally different from anything experienced by the U.S. and the U.K. computer pioneers, who were his contemporaries. He says this must be taken into account in evaluating his contributions. Because of his wartime isolation and his own reluctance to publish his work, for a long time, Zuse was largely unknown. Unlike Atanasoff, for example, his early machines had essentially no influence on the field, although they included, in an elementary way, many of the features of the modern computer. Throughout his life, he received little understanding and support from the German government, from German industry, or from German academia. Not until almost 1960, when it finally became clear to Germany's leaders that computing machinery was actually important and Zuse had been an early computer innovator, was Zuse finally recognized and honored as Germany's chief claim to fame in the modern history of computing. His own vigorously made claims of priority, like all such claims, must be quite carefully and narrowly drawn to be accepted, since the same ideas were occurring at the same time to other pioneers who were making similar plans and inventions. Fortunately, there's glory enough for all in the relay computer pioneers. While what he did with relay computers was unique, he thought more highly of his Plan Kalkul and was always grieved that it had never been widely accepted, although its concepts were frequently rediscovered. Zuse was, as we have seen, a man of many talents. He was a persistent, innovative, and extraordinarily creative engineering designer. He was also a mathematical logician, the founder of several successive computing manufacturing businesses, and finally, an impressive artist. His countrymen and the computing world remembers him chiefly for the concept of his first Z machines, the Z1, the Z2, the Z3, and the Z4. But they also remember him for his entrepreneurial companies, successfully created and operated, almost without outside help, in the most trying of conditions. You have been listening to an edition of Computing Lives. This edition was a biography of the computer pioneer Conrad Zuse, which was written by Eric Weiss. It appeared in issue 18, number 2, of the Annals of the History of Computing. More information about the Annals, as well as other publications of the Computer Society, can be found at our webpage, which is www.computer.org. To find the Annals information, click on the tab that says Technical Magazines. Other Computer Society podcasts can be found at the same site, particularly at www.computer.org/podcasts. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear them. You can send them to podcasts@computer.org. The music for this podcast came from the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. You can find that at music.podshow.com, and we thank them for their contributions. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time.